I'm gonna get right to the point with this one. Okay, I'm gonna talk about Jack Yates, specifically what he's doing with Local Acts Only. If y'all do not know what Local Acts Only is, I'm gonna put a link when I post this episode on Instagram, Twitter, what have you. I'm gonna post a link to his account so y'all could take a look at the kind of content that he's producing, the kind of work that he's doing, the kind of environment that he's putting other people who are also trying to create and explore different opportunities, what they're trying to do. I'm gonna come out on a limb. So he, out of everybody who's got their thing, right? And when I say got their thing, I mean a person who has publicized a hobby, a brand, whatever it may be, right? What he's been able to do now, which I, to be honest with you, I don't remember the exact date it started, but I feel like it's been about 6 months now, give or take. What he's been able to do for the last almost half a year, if not more or less, whatever, is allow people to share a piece of what makes them them, and to do it honestly and openly, and to be accepted by it, and to give them a chance to speak on it. And I think that the kind of work that he's been doing is, I mean, number one, it's just fantastic. Two, not too many people have somebody like him who is so invested in what they could be and what they're doing, right? Consistently, right? Not too many people are giving others who have their own thing going on a chance to share the stories about it, to share what got them to that point. Whether or not it changes, whether or not they quote unquote make it is irrelevant, right? That's not really the point in this. The point is that these people have things that they love, they care about, they cherish. And he's giving them a platform to show the world, you know, what they've been doing, what makes them them, what speaks to their soul, what gets them up in the morning, right? And, you know, when I was talking to Jack, you know, a brief conversation over the phone, texting, DM, and I was like, listen, you know, this concept, this thing that you have is the best thing. It is completely you. It is what you mean to a lot of people. The openness, the ability to see something new, experience something new, test it out, try it, look at it, give it a chance, you know. And I'm grateful to have been able to see what he's been doing, to have something like that, and to be able to view the content, to get exposed to people that I, in any other circumstance, I would have never met, I would have never known about, to be able to hear what they have to say, to be able to listen to other people who are also passionate about the things that they're doing. It's a refreshing experience. And if you haven't checked it out yet, I highly recommend. The last recording I cut off, I highly recommend it. If you haven't checked out Local Acts Only, go check out his Instagram, go check out YouTube, go listen to some of his podcasts where he sits down and interviews different artists, different creators, and gets them to open up about their life, what got them to this point, why they create the things that they do, you know, what makes them tick, the details about it, the specificity of what they're actually doing. It's just hands down, it's one of the best things I've been able to be a viewer of, just to be on the sidelines and just listen to it, view it, examine it, things of that nature. So please go check it out, okay? I wanted to present you with that first and then kind of transition into like a quick episode. Nothing really about any sort of major event or anything in the news or whatever, just sort of like a different take on the episode and do it more of a conceptualized recording, you know, about two different topics that I want to talk about. One of them being about gender, the other being about technology, different gadgets that we're going to end up using and things like that. So the next part of the segment, which should transition after this, is going to be about those two things. So stay tuned. Okay, the second part about this is the future kids, right? The gender problem that we may or may not have. For me, it's pretty simple, right? When it comes to these hypothetical kids that I have in the future, it really comes down to this criteria, okay? Are you contributing to society in a positive way? That doesn't mean that you need to service somebody else or come up with some item or brand or whatever. Really, it's, are you a positive member of society? Are you living life happily? Are you living healthy and with a good well-being? Do you have a good moral standard, a good head on your shoulders? Listen, if you decide that painting your nails, wearing two-piece dresses with a thong underneath is the best way to feel comfortable in your skin, then that's how you need to be dressing. If you need to have a buzz cut, high top boots, and tank tops to feel more like yourself, then go do that. If you want to mix and match, date men and women, one or the other, or none at all, none of those details I listed are things in any way I'm concerned about, other than getting my kid close to the truest version of themselves. Everything else is irrelevant at that point. The only reason why I have an ounce of care about what those things could mean is because of what other parents are brainwashing their kids to believe. Like that bullshit like that should even concern them. That if Tommy wants to wear a thong, then he's a menace to society. Or if Tammy wants to act and look like Superman, then she isn't really who she's supposed to be. She's not really a woman or whatever. Or God forbid someone goes outside of the norms. Just because your biology on a genetic level gave you certain appendages, that has nothing to do with the way that you carry out your life. If you're confused, you've shut yourself out to the world. You've allowed what's been done to matter more than what's been shown. And humans have shown that the brave ones, the courageous ones, the true, honest ones, have shown that these petty categories, bullshit expectations that you have on how everyone needs to act and behave, they're just outdated. Listen, again, it comes back to the basic three things that I ask of. Do you live in a true, fair, and honest way? Are you contributing to society by being a decent human being who doesn't block someone else's pursuit of fair and honest happiness? Are you happy and are you safe? If these things check out, then everything else is entirely up to the uniqueness and the specialty of that given person. You're going to shut out my kid's light because you got accustomed to living a dark, boring, status quo kind of existence? That ain't it. And that's number one, okay? The second part of this is about gadgets, okay? So, number two. I'm switching gears on this one, okay? The future of how we interact with technology and what it can mean for our day-to-day and how we consider life to be lived, right? My thing is this. Okay, so we're in the early stages. All right, a few months ago, I tuned into one conversation. Our buddy, our leader, Elon Musk, I mean that ironically, by the way, was in, and he said something interesting about the dynamic in which we operate with technology and phones and whatever have you, right? And it went like this. So pretty much what he said was, we've already started the stages of becoming symbiotic with AI. The only difference is the processing speed. And this speed he mentioned is done at a very slow pace. So our relationship doesn't seem as in unison as it truly is, because the reaction time still feels like we are in control of how we use these products. So there doesn't seem to be a dependency. But in reality, the dependency is already there. It's already formed. It's in motion, right? And as time goes on, the speed in which we interact with this technology will become faster, more efficient, more appeasing to our lifestyles. And so the connection that's formed will begin to, it will become less controlled and more inherent. It'll feel more natural, even though it's not. And by the time it even becomes inherently us, we won't be able to recognize or revert the relationship from AI. And this sort of, what he used the word of symbiosis, will be sort of inevitable. Okay, so you know, we will be tied to this technology until or unless two things occur. Either humans go extinct, or we become so irrelevant in the face of this new dynamic that it won't even matter if we opt in or not, because without it, we don't stand a chance of surviving anyway. Right? And I thought about that. So, you know, it's very sci-fi, very much absolute for something that's still in question and determined by a lot of different factors, but it makes sense, right? I feel like generations past or post 2010 have lived two different worlds. You know, one in the tangible, we call it the real world, and another online. And to be quite honest with you, I don't think the internet one is as irrelevant or as unimportant as some would think. And I say it for this reason. Okay. Because of the fact that both the real world and the internet world affect each other in some way, you can't help but have to navigate, own, and monitor how each is done and carried out. We've seen people in real life who have done terrible things. In real life, get tracked down, reprimanded, and held accountable in ways that may have been swept under the rug without this heightened awareness that is the internet. We've seen people in real life who have done creative, amazing things in real life get tracked down, recognized, and presented with opportunities that may have been overlooked without that heightened awareness that is the internet. So it's not just as simple as, you know, just stay off these apps. A lot of social dynamics are being experimented with and carried out on these apps. Content consumption on a personal level is done through these apps. Communities brought together, torn apart, rebuilt, realigned. If you didn't think it was as important before, that's okay. But it's a little too late in the game now to believe that what's done on the internet doesn't affect what happens in real life and vice versa. And I learned this, that, you know, this was true when the perspective and actions of older generations went from don't put everything on Facebook or don't get caught up in what's done on the internet to full-blown involvement in what goes on in Twitter, Facebook, TikTok. I mean, they're on it. Like, you know what I mean? Listen, I'm overgeneralizing a little bit. But a lot of them went from being above it to being deeply tied into what goes on these apps. So then rather than try to fight against it, we may be too deep into this social world to completely get rid of it in its entirety. And I don't really see much wrong with that. I think if you call it for what it is and you understand the dynamics in play, then you're able to navigate this whole thing a lot easier. You understand it for what it is, and you can make the choice moving forward. If you like some aspects of where the technology is going, you can opt in or opt out. But I think we're at a point where it's going to be difficult to stray away from that.